Lord, just how beautiful heaven and how wonderful it's just all going to be. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It's not even entered into our hearts, the things that you've prepared for us that love you. I want to thank you so much, Lord, for this message. I pray that, Lord, it does not fall on deaf ears. I pray that your spirit will enter this room, Lord, and Lord, calm every person, Lord, man, woman, child, to really hear what thus saith the Lord, to really say, let this sink into our hearts, Lord, so that we know exactly what we need to do. Open up our ears, Lord, so we can really hear what you're saying, our eyes so we can see, Lord, this in a new and fresh way. Our minds, Lord, so we can understand, comprehend, know exactly what we need to do with what we've heard and seen. And Lord, let's open up our hearts so that we fall in love with you, Lord. Just a fraction of what you fell in love with us because you sent your only son. You loved us so much that you sent your only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. There is no one like you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I kind of like it down here better anyway. I mean, like, if I'm up here, it makes me feel like, oh, well, I'm up here and you're down here, you know. And believe me, I'm just trying to get to heaven with you. I promise. I just want to start by saying thank you guys for letting me preach. You know, last week, I tell you, man, I was worried before I came in here and preached what I preached. I'm like, man, I don't know if this is just going to be like the craziest thing they've ever heard or not. But when the altars filled up, man, and we were praying for people, that was just one of the coolest feelings ever, man, to know that we're taking authority over these spirits that are coming after us, and we're going to live victorious. I mean, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, not have hope of life later on after we die and go to heaven, but here on earth. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, I look so forward to what he's going to do in our church in 2017 if we'll be some demon-stomping, spirit-filled, all that good stuff. So, all right, I can give you the little tingles, the Holy Ghost tingles. All right, so I titled this sermon, Home for Christmas. I mean, because, man, come on, we're home for Christmas. I mean, but not just the physical part of this, the spiritual part of really, really being home for Christmas. I mean, what it means to be home with the Lord. And I titled this one, Praise Comes Home. And I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 1. And this is, you know, when I read the Christmas story, or, you know, you're kind of reading that stuff about the origins of Jesus, you know, and how he came and all that. I usually don't get very far. You know, I was just reading the genealogy, and I'm like, I got to stop right here. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You know, this one, this genealogy, you know, kind of goes back to David. You know, he calls himself the son. It goes all the way down to Joseph, you know. So we know, like, Joseph, like, kind of wasn't his real dad. So he's, like, the son of God. And, you know, and some of the genealogies start all the way back to Adam. So we call him the son of man. But Matthew chooses to go, you know, he's the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, son of Jacob. That's what all the Jewish people would say, man, he's the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, like, if you were going to go down, like, the good line, you know, you wouldn't go to Judah and his brothers, because Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. I mean, you kind of would want to go to Joseph, you know, because that's where all the good stuff, I mean, he was the savior of everybody, kind of, by storing all that grain and doing all this. So Matthew, I think, is kind of trying to make a little emphatic point here. He said, I want you to look who the savior came from. He came from people like Judah and his brothers. And, you know, and Matthew's saying, man, he came for people like me. It's not like perfectly clean. He comes from this line of people who have all this stuff going on. And Judah means praise. So I'm kind of going to do this little Christmas message based on him coming home. And I don't mean physically being home. I mean being at home and at one and figuring out all that he is in God and doing what he needs to do to be at peace, you know, with him and his family and all this. And so Judah in Hebrew means praise. So Judah comes home. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about the ABCs of coming home. You know, what does it mean to really be home with God? I mean, it's one thing, you know, like you go hang out with your family and you like tolerate them. But it's another thing to like be there and like really enjoy it, you know, because sometimes, you know, you're around these people and there's all this tension and there's all this stuff. You know, when we meet together, you know, at our families, you know, there's like this underlying tension, you know, with some people, the elephant in the room, nobody kind of speaks about and all that kind of stuff. But there's three things that I believe need to happen when you really come home and you get it and you're at peace with God. And I did ABC. A, there's an awakening, okay? I need God. You know, I'm separated from Him. You know, I need to believe in God so I can go to heaven. There's the A, the awakening, okay? And sometimes I think in the church we stop there. That's it. You know, well, all right, I know I need God, what I need to say, what I need to do. Well, you need to say this prayer. Okay, well, whew, all right, good. I'm glad I got that taken care of. But I believe there's two more parts, okay? Two, the B is brutal honesty. You know, why do I need God? You know, and it's not because all this has been done to me and this person did this to me when I was younger and I hate them because they did this to me and this is why I am the way I am. No, you take responsibility for your own actions, brutal honesty, and say, I need God. My awakening leads to brutal honesty because I've wanted my own way. I've rejected His way. Brutal honesty. And then the C part is change. I actually do something about it. Okay, A, B, C. You need all three parts. You can't just say awakening and say a prayer. You can't be awakening and then be brutal honesty and then say, well, I'm going and just live how you've lived in the past. It's and that you do something about it. That's the complete circle of change and of truly coming home. And throughout this whole story right here of Judah, I'm going to show you all three parts of what it looks like for him. And I want you to think about what it might look like for you, okay? So let's start with the birth of Judah in Genesis chapter 29. And she conceived again and bore a son. This is Leah. Remember, Jacob goes off, you know, to marry somebody in his homeland. And man, he sees a girl named Rachel, and she is fine, and he'll do anything that he can to get her. I'll work 7 years. The Bible says the 7 years that he worked seemed as only a few days. I mean, this cat was in love. And so he works for 7 years, you know? And then, like, he gets tricked. I mean, somehow, you know, I don't know how in the world this works. I've tried to play this in my mind. I mean, I guess it got really dark, you know, like at night or something. And, like, somehow, they did the old switcheroo. And Leah was in there, and he woke up like, whoa, you're Rachel's sister. Like, I know, you know, my dad kind of pawned me off on you, you know. And so that it just worked, okay? I mean, that's just the way it worked. Somehow, some way, he ended up with Leah, and this Leah bore a son. Now, up until this point, she's tried so hard to impress her husband, try to win her husband. And she tries to do it by making babies. She realizes, oh, man, well, the love of his life can't have children. I can have children. Maybe because I can have children for this man, he will fall in love with me. And she names all the children before Judah these names like, oh, my husband will love me. My husband will become attached to me. I mean, she's having all these children only because she thinks it will make the husband love me now. This is how she's trying to get him to love her, because she knows that she's unloved. And so this last baby, Judah, I mean, he's born, his name is wonderful, because she says, you know what? I'm tired of trying to make babies to get my husband to love me. I'm going to name this baby Judah. And you know what? I'm not going to make it about trying to get my husband to love me. I'm going to praise the Lord. He has me here for a purpose. I'm going to honor him with my life, and this baby is going to represent praise. I'm going to praise the Lord. And then she stopped bearing. She says, I'm no longer going to just keep popping out babies for my husband to pay attention to me because he obviously has no interest in me. So you have this group, man, this whole group that's going to come from her. Look in Genesis 35:23, I think. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. He had 12 kids. The sons of Leah, the one that she was always trying to win his affection, were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Okay, those are all the babies that she ended up having. The sons of Rachel, now the one that she that Jacob actually loved, was in love with. They only had two children. Joseph, who like a chunk of Genesis is dedicated to, like 12 chapters, you know, his whole life. And Benjamin. Now, Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin. So, you know, I only had these two kids, but Jacob, it was very obvious that he loved these kids more because they came from the love of his life. And I got to thinking about this. I mean, do we have this happening in the church today? You know, are people kind of like, well, just tricked into saying a prayer? You know, churches will come and we'll show them this concert style worship, and they'll feel something in their hearts and they care about everything but actually knowing him and loving him. And maybe it comes from just a place of trying to get God to love us instead of it being from a place that God already loves us. Or maybe if we play our music well enough and we bring enough people in and we can convince them that they need to say this prayer to go to heaven, and we can multiply everything. Well, maybe if we get all these kids kind of raised up, that God, he'll love us for that reason. And that's not the way it works. This must be born out of a place of love. And it's amazing that way few children are born out of that place of love than if you just kind of come out and just put on the show and try to get everybody to come to the show. I mean, they're tricked into believing that as long as everything looks good on the outside, well, the inside must be clean as well. And that's just not true. Because the outside of the cup is clean does not mean that the inside of the cup is clean also. Awakening is only a third of the process. I'm glad you realize you need God and I need to come to church and I need to do better. That's only a third. When I grade tests, if you only get 1 out of 3 right, that's a 33. I might round it to a 34. You know, just to be generous, you know? And then, like, even if you're just honest about it, man, I need God because I've been this way and this way, and I've hurt this person, and I've done this. Well, that's still only 2 out of 3. That's only 67, you know, if I round it up, you know? That's passing now only this year because they made a 60 a D, which is really pitiful if you think about it. But that's just the way it is, man. You need the whole package. I'm awakening, brutal honesty, and change. So I want you to see Judah's foundation. He is raised knowing that daddy does not love mama. And I want you to see the pattern that this takes him on. And he grows up seeing daddy loves these two because he loved their mama. He didn't love my mama. And I want you to look at the pattern of behavior this sends him on. In Genesis chapter 38, 1 and 2, I'm just going to try to hit these pretty quickly. It came to pass at that time that Judah departed from his brothers. Okay, all right, I'm getting out of the family, man. You know, I'm tired of watching all this mess. I know daddy loves Joseph and Benjamin more than everybody else, blah, blah, all that. And visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. Okay, so Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. Now, he had to know the story of Abraham, how he sent the guy out to get the wife for Isaac. He had to know that Isaac said, look, Jacob, don't take a wife from here. Go get a wife, you know, from the homeland people. But Judah just disregards all that. I like this Canaanite woman who named Shua, and he married her. Went in unto her. Like, you know, just, it doesn't matter who I marry. You know, I can do what I want. In Genesis 38, 6 and 7, look what happens. Then Judah took a wife for his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord. So he did not teach his children the ways of the Lord. They saw, Daddy does whatever the heck he wants to do. Why can't I do whatever I want to do? So he's got these children not being raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They see Daddy doing whatever he wants to do. And the Lord killed this son. He was so wicked, Judah's son, that the Lord killed him. It's like, whoa, that's amazing. And then the third one I want you to see is the first one, because this one's what I'm going to, this is back to Genesis 37. So Judah said to his brother, it was Judah who said this, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? I mean, so here's Joseph saying, you know, man, I'm having these dreams, man, you guys are going to bow down to me, and this is pretty cool. And they're like, man, we ain't never bowing down to you. And so, you know, they can't stand him. You know, he's telling on them all the time. And they're like, listen, this kid has got to go. And they're contemplating while he's in a pit, you know, what? Let's kill him. You know, whatever we, you know, what are we going to do to this guy? And here's Judah. Here's his big plan. What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Like, what's in it for us? We don't get anything out of it if we just kill him. Let's get something out of it for ourselves. This is his attitude. What's in it for me? You know, that's like the perfect American attitude. What's in it for me? If I do this, what do I get out of it? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. So like, and this dude, man, he's bad. He's taking wives from people that he shouldn't be messing with. He's not raising his kids in fear and admonition of the Lord. He's selling his brother. He's selling his dad's kid that he loves. I mean, Judah. I mean, if you change that to an S, you remember later on when this guy named Judah sold out God's only son that he loved for 30 pieces of silver. This is kind of amazing, like the similarities here. So Judah, like, what are we going to get out of it? Let's sell him and let's make some money off this. It's total selfishness. And he was born this time. I'll praise the Lord, and he knows the origin of his name. Mama named me Praise because she got tired of all these outside circumstances not going her way. She decided she's going to focus on him. That's my name. That's where I come from. But after seeing all this and looking around and all the injustice, he gets so tired of it. He says, that brother's got to go, and I'm going to do whatever I want, and who cares? Nothing matters. But Judah came home. He came home. Let's look in Genesis chapter 44, starting in verse 16. Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? What are they trying to clear themselves from? Well, man, Joseph absolutely just messed with these guys. Totally just, when they came and needed that grain, I mean, he just looked at it as an opportunity, I guess, to just mess with them. So as they're leaving the second time with all this grain, he takes his cup and he puts it in with Benjamin's stuff. And he has one of his guys go and say, hey, look, man, go get my cup and just see what they say. Tell them that the person, you know, has got to be my slave and I can't believe he took it from me. And so they don't know that Joseph's tricking them. And they don't even know that Joseph is Joseph. So they're leaving. And they just all of a sudden, they come up and this guy comes up and says, why are you taking Pharaoh's stuff? And they're like, we ain't taking anything. And I tell you what, if you find your stuff, you can kill whoever you want that takes it, because we didn't take anything. And so he goes and he looks through all that stuff, and sure enough, right there with Benjamin's stuff is that cup. And they're just like, oh my gosh, this will kill Daddy. How did this happen? I mean, they're just so distraught. And they go before Joseph. And this is it. Judah. This is Judah speaking. After doing all of this stuff, this is the moment he came home. He's saying to Joseph, what can we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with who the cup was found. He just discovered awakening. Look at that, an awareness of his sin. The Lord has found out our iniquity. He's aware of this. There's an awakening, okay? And everybody came back. They didn't just let Benjamin come back with the cup. They had everybody come back. So next verse, there was the awakening. But he said, far be it from me, Joseph, that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he'll be my slave. And as for you, go on in peace up into your father, knowing this is impossible. Just go on up in peace. Y'all look good. Just that guy. You don't all have to stay. Then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word into my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you're even like Pharaoh. And here it comes, man. Here is the brutal honesty. Next verse. I love this. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or brother? This is a while back. You asked us if we had a brother. And we said to you, yeah, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, okay? And he alone is left of his mother's children. Benjamin's the only one left. And his father loves him, okay? Then you said to us, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes upon him. And we said to you, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he leaves his father will die. We told you we can't bring Benjamin because this will kill him. But you said to us, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. You told us we had to, or we wouldn't have any food, or we would die. So it was, when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. We went and told Daddy what you said, that unless we bring the little man, that you are going to do nothing more for us. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. He told us to come on back. But we said, we can't go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we'll go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. I can't go unless we have the son. We can't stand before you, Pharaoh, unless we have the sign. Does that sound familiar on this Christmas morning? We cannot stand before the Lord unless we have the sign. You better take him with you. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me. Okay, this is Jacob talking. And I said, surely he's torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since, okay? But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. If you take my son and you don't bring him back, I will lose both of my sons, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. You got to bring him back. Now, therefore, when I came to your servant, my father, and the lad is not, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad's not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, he will die. This will kill my father if we don't take Benjamin back with us. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, your father, with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad and to my father, saying, if I don't bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. He's saying, I'm willing to take the blame. And look at this. Now, therefore, this completes the change. This completes Judah coming home for Christmas. Yes, he's awakened that, man, God knows about my sin. He knows, okay? He's had the brutal honesty. Look, man, we did this to our dad. We did this to him. It's my fault. Now, therefore, please let me, your servant, remain instead of this lad as a slave to my Lord. I will give myself up. You can do whatever you want to me, but I'm tired of hurting my father. I'm tired of telling him lies. I'm ready to come completely clean, and you can have me. And let the lad go up with his brothers. Just let him go home. Take me. I mean, Joseph has to see this is, I can't believe this is Judah. Mister, do whatever you want, whenever you want. And look at this. He's saying he's willing to give his life. He was so willing to sell me and dispose of me. The last thing I remember him saying was, yeah, just sell Joseph. Let's get something out of it. And now he's willing to give his life for the lad. What a change. That's unbelievable. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad's not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. I don't want to see what this would do to the father if I don't have the son when I go back. How could I go up to him? Next verse. Then, only then, not after awakening, not after brutal honesty, after he completes it. Awaken, brutal honesty, and change. Then Joseph couldn't restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brother. I mean, there's no doubt that Joseph represents Jesus here. I mean, everybody would have died had he not had the vision to tell Pharaoh exactly what needed to be done during the 7 years of famine. But once he sees his brother change, he says, I can't do this anymore. I must make myself known to him. So home for Christmas. If you hadn't listened to anything else, think about this. Where are you with him? Have you been awakening? Do you know that you need God? Do you know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Most people do. I guarantee you probably heard that 1,000 times. Now 1,001. Have you been brutally honest? Why don't you experience the presence of the Lord? Why are you bored when the things that of him are talked about? Why can't you get alone with this book? Could it be that when you're just completely alone with him and it's just you and him, you know he's going to expose things that you're going to have to do to deal with? I mean, is that why it's so much easier to where if you're about to sit down with him and you just pull out your phone and then you just start checking text messages and then you start and then all of a sudden 30 minutes gone by and you really hadn't dealt with the brutal honesty of like, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know how to be alone with you. You're going to have to show me. Just be brutally honest of why you don't experience him as much as you ever have in your past or as much as people that you know that know him and you want what they have. And once that happens, say, Lord, change me. What do I need to do? Maybe you can make the change. Maybe you can say, I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier and I'm going to spend time with him and I'm going to read and I'm going to pray and I'm going to talk to him. Maybe you get up and you realize you try that all week and you can't. Well, then you get on your knees and you say, Lord, I can't change myself. I need you to change me. I put my trust in you, my hope in you. You are everything. And I want to be a Christian and I want to follow you with all my heart. And I want to know your presence. I want abundant life. I want life and life more abundantly. I want to know you, the whole thing, awakening, brutal honesty, and then change. That's when God makes himself known to you. That's when the life gets put inside of you. That's when everybody else looks at you and says, I don't know what they have, but I want that. That is the real deal. I want that. And I absolutely was blown away when I saw this verse, especially in light of what we talked about last week. This was absolutely amazing. Because at the very end of Jacob's life, okay, he's blessing his children, okay? Now, had Judah never gone through that, we have no idea what the blessing would have meant. There was a guy named Reuben that actually slept with one of his dad's concubines that was part of one of the 12 children too. And it just did not go well for him. And you could tell dad wasn't blessing him at the end of all this. But when he got to Judah, you got to check this out, this last one, Genesis 49, verse 8. This is what Jacob says to Judah. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. There's his name, praise. Brothers are going to praise you. Look at this. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Now, last week, what did we talk about, man? Those enemies being under our feet. So, man, if you can get this right, you can learn to praise the Lord. Imagine the picture. Devil, you're not coming after me. You are under my feet. You're not messing with me. You're not messing with my family. You're not messing with people that I love, because I belong to him. Guys, that's what it's all about. That's why God came, not just so you could believe in him and go to heaven when you die and finally things get enjoyable. It's so you can take authority down here and enjoy this life. And people look at you and they say, I don't know what that is that you have. How do you have such peace in your heart? How do things that bother everybody else not bother you? It's like, I have him. He gave me life. He gave me life more abundantly. And he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Let's pray. And Marcus, if you don't mind, come play a little bit for me. Mark's like, thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate that. Guys, listen. The greatest present, man, that he can give you is his son. And just look at him today, man, what he did for you. That baby grew up to be a man who went on that cross, man, and he bore your sins. And guys, the way I imagine that it worked, man, I mean, I know like at 9 o'clock they put him up on the cross, but at 12 o'clock it says it got dark. And that's when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the moment, man. He'd never been away from the presence of his Father. Never, not one time. And all of a sudden he says, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? What's happening? Why did it get dark? Most theologians believe, and I believe, that that's the time God turned away from him. It got dark. There was no more light. And man, he turns his face, because for 3 solid hours, sin, all the way back that started from Adam in the garden to December 18th, 2016, that anybody who was having an awakening, oh my gosh, I need him. I need God in my life. Be brutal honesty. And this is why I'm separated from him. Because I love my own way. I do my own thing. And I don't even consider him or his ways. But see, I'm going to change that today. My sin. I'm going to sin back in time to that 3 hours on that Good Friday afternoon. And I'm going to let my sin pile on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let him die for my sin. I hate that he has to. And I hate that my sin hurts somebody that I love so much and who loved me so much. But this is why he came. I want my sin transferred to him on that cross, and I want to be forgiven, and I want to start a brand new life in him. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, I want to make that change, and I want to start today? Would you raise your hand and say, I want to start my walk with Christ today? I want to make it right today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. It's between you and him. Is there anybody in this place who would say, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life, and I want that to happen today. Anybody. I see a hand. And guys, with everybody praying, I want you to pray that the Spirit enters this place. And Lord, whether somebody raises their hand or not, if they know they need it, Lord, I just pray that in their heart, straight to you, that they will say, Lord Jesus, I'm aware of my sin. I'm brutally honest that it's my way that separated from you, separated me from you. But see, Lord, I want to change. Will you come into my heart? Will you forgive me? I transfer my sins back 2,000 years onto the cross of Christ, that 3 hours, that Good Friday. I empty myself of my sin onto you and ask that you cover me with your blood, make me clean, make me brand new. And I ask your Holy Spirit to fill my heart. Fill that emptiness of all that sin, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Help me walk with you. Help me learn about you. Help me live for you. There's no one like you. Make me like your Son. Amen. And Lord, one more time, I just want to pray as we dismiss this service. Lord, I thank you just for the power of your word and the power, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. I pray that every single one of us will get it, Lord. Every single one of us will really put our life at your feet and at the foot of the cross, Lord, that we're all forgiven. Lord, that we will be awakened, yes, but we'll be brutally honest about our relationship with you and ask you throughout this week as we spend time with you, is there anything keeping me from your best? Is there anything keeping me from your presence? And as you show it to us, don't let us just say, well, that's just the way I am, or well, that's just the way things are. Let us say, I'll change it. And if we can't, say, Lord, change me. Change me. Help Lifeline Community Church to just be a people, Lord, that love you and honor you and want nothing more than just to carry your presence around with us. Let our light so shine before men that others will see our good deeds and glorify you, Lord, our Father in heaven. There is no one like you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.